Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours at the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville. Unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to Whispers Radio. What?
Nothing.
Did you like my headbang in there?
Yeah, we were just all kind of
moving to the grooving.
To yes.
And just when it hit me, I realized we were live on the air.
Nice time to be aware.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Welcome to Whispers Radio. I'm Jordan Klein. He's Nick Queen. She is the lovely. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. There's something crazy, Lola, that happened Sunday night. Do you know what it was?
No, what was it?
Lost.
Last time you're ever going to hear that sound.
No, it won't be. You love that button.
I know it. I love
That's right, the season finale of Lost.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
You just made a little fire out of yourself.
Sorry.
Shut up.
Well, and you know what else was last night?
I don't even tell me. I don't want to know how it ended.
Oh, okay.
I'm like on season 5 right now.
Whoa, 24?
Yeah, 24.
I have to catch up on that one, too. But
well, you know,
I did catch up on Lost, though.
You did?
I am done.
Did you watch the finale, too?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Nikki, what did you think?
Wait, here's...
She's going to hit it again.
What am I going to do? I don't have a life. My shows are all going away. Saving Grace's series finale is probably in 2 weeks. And the only reason it's still hanging on now is because of NBA basketball.
I never watched that show.
Sounds like a chick movie.
Yeah. No, she is anything. She is far from.
She is not a chick.
Yeah. Well, she is one. Well, I wouldn't want to mess with her. I can tell you that.
All right. Well, what did you think of Lost? How do you like the ending, Lola?
All right.
Because I know, as opinionated as you are...
Did you listen to Monday's broadcast?
I had to turn it off after I called in.
Okay. Really and truly, I thought it was great. It was phenomenal. The videography, again, was stunning. I mean, how can you not say that about Oahu? I thought the character wrap-up was really good. But I was so let down by the last, and I checked it was 20 minutes. I almost, it was a cop-out. I would have felt the same way had Abrams rolled over and gone, wow, did I have a dream last night? You know, there were so many things, and I know they weren't going to answer everything, but it was like 6 years were wasted, kind of, because there was no answers to anything.
Yeah.
And I think what happened maybe was, I think the Sideways was a good idea, and it was like a parallel universe kind of thing. But I think it came on them so fast, the ending, that they really didn't have enough time to do a really good closing for that. And I think a lot of it, because then this really fried me. The first thing Monday morning, everybody's using the term purgatory. And that's not what it was.
Yeah, I don't think it was either.
And
well, I can see their point in that, just because of the response of two characters, Ben not going into the church. Because he's still dealing with his issues, and then the cop lady, and I can't remember her name.
Anna Lucia.
Because both of them, you know,
weren't ready.
Anna Lucia took the bribe.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he says, well, she's not ready, you know, she's not ready to go yet. Ben couldn't walk into it. He was close. He was right there. But, you know, and to that, you know, purgatory is a place where you work off your sins, if I understand the concept correctly.
I thought it was somewhere people had to pray you out.
No, I mean, it's more like you go there. It's like kind of like, you know, heaven's waiting room, I guess, where you kind of have to deal with the issues that you have. And if you think about it, each of them sort of did deal with issues. And that was the whole thing about the show. And you know, the more I think about it is these people had to deal with, you know.
It was redemption. It was about redemption.
None of you had I didn't take you out of a perfect life, you know. But at the same time, then you have to kind of wonder, there's other ideas where, you know, did Jacob and Adam or the man in black, whatever you want to call him.
Man in black, yeah.
You know, did what exactly, that whole thing was kind of the bigger letdown. The whole Jacob and very close into more
well,
of like an allegory.
Well, can we spell prequel? I know they keep saying that this is it, it's done. It,
of
they're
course,
not
you're going to have to do something.
Well, the whole thing, maybe I wouldn't have felt this way if I hadn't just read Randy's book.
Yeah.
And in that, he's talking about, for the lack of a better term, past lives and memories from that. And that's kind of because Christian said, there is no now. This has no time, mm-hmm. the space that we're in right now. And so I took it more as, these people that were in the church will be there again. They will greet other people because they're ready to move on to their next life experience along.
Well, see, that
huge...
even puts a timeline on it. I mean, it just is, you know, for one person, it could have been 5 minutes. For one, it was 100 years. It just is.
Because that's... Hurley and Ben, you get the impression that Hurley then at some point has passed over.
But since he said, you know, hey, you made a great number two, you made a great number one, which means they went through the whole Jacob spiel. I mean, they could have been there hundreds of years.
Yeah,
and I think that Sawyer and them got off the Sawyer and them got off the island. I think, you know, and the Christian concept, you know, because that's the best that I can, you know, they say, well, when you die, you know, it's just like, you know, one second you're dead, the next second you're in heaven. That, you know, at that point, time has no existence to you. And the time really is a human concept. And I think that was what they were looking at. I mean, they played with time like it was, you know, a jump rope. I mean.
And that's the other thing. I know that they had only a finite amount of time to answer all these things. But what was the point of the island jumping from time to time to time?
I think that's more of the nature of the island itself, because that deals with more of what the light is, I think.
I wanted some answers, you know, I think that was one of the things that.
And a lot of people were frustrated about that. But now one of the writers said, you know, and this was before this all started, that, you know, if you're going into this looking for perfect
answers
that you're, you know, they're not going to do that, because then you get into the idea of, and one of the things I hate, I can't say it enough, Star Wars, you know, I understood the Force, you know, I mean, you know, the Force is this kind of mystical, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I didn't need an explanation of why it's there. I didn't need an explanation of what creates it or, you know, any scientific background for it, it is, you know. And then they have to come in, and he has to go and put in the midichlorians, and that made me so mad, because it's at this point you're taking away kind of the mystery behind it, because I don't need an explanation for the Force. You know, I'd rather have a, you know, more of the story with the characters and everything. Yes, you do have to answer some questions, but that's one of the questions you don't have to answer. And I guess they're saying, you know, that we all missed out on it, because it's like, well, it was really all about the characters all along, when you put a lot of emphasis on, such as Walt.
Well, I think it was about Jack.
Yeah,
it was all about Jack. It was all about Jack, but, you know, Walt. Walt's another one of those things, like,
but see, this
so
is
important
the,
in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before third season and before.
Yeah.
They had all these concepts that they were throwing out there. I think that's the first. Well, we saw a polar bear in season mm-hmm. one. I don't remember when Charlotte got into it. Season
well, the,
four.
Well, the polar
I think,
bear was Dharma.
I know,
right?
But how did it get to the Tunisian desert? Charlotte oh, found one okay. out in the Tunisian desert.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, this idea all along, everybody's been holding on to the idea that Claire's baby.
Yeah.
Because they were saying there was something special about him. Walt was special. Why were who were the others and why were they there? And don't just tell me it was Limbo.
Sure.
You know, they had a
and
specific.
And it's not that really exists. And they even say that at the beginning. Cause it did have like, oh, well, you know, that was you had to walk through that to get to heaven. You know, it really crashed.
They
and,
said, yeah, they and, said the mm-hmm. only part that was like, whatever you want to call it, was the sideways.
Yeah.
You know, Jack on the island was for real.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 3 years that it took him to get back to the island,
yeah.
that those experiences there were real. But in the meantime, you've got the island mm-hmm. is still back in 1977. I mean, there were just some things that I really and truly.
In
it was,
2007, it, and I mean, it exists. It's an actual
yeah.
physical island.
But yeah. but it was, you know, it yeah. was good. And I'm really sad to see it go.
It's going to be, there's going to be so many questions that are going to be asked about it from here on
that's
out.
That's why, even though they're saying that, you know, it's done, it's over, they're not going to reprise any of it. Mm-hmm. I've already heard there's been some talk with the guy that plays Ben and the guy that played Locke, Terry O'Quinn.
I like it.
You know, and so maybe, but, you know, a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Do a prequel. It's something, and I can see that happening. It's just like with Jack. What are you doing?
He has lost his contact.
My contact popped out of my eyeball.
Oh, I thought maybe it rolled up in your head.
I tried to, like, put it back in, but it's all dry out, and it's got fuzz on it now.
Go at it.
Lick it.
Well, I was gonna, but I liked your conversation.
Oh. But I just, you know, was I happy with it for the most? I just, but that last part just kind of, and it was so rushed, kind of. I just think that they ran out of time, literally, because it wasn't until only 2 weeks ago that they expanded it from 2 hours to 2.5 hours. Now, you watched it online or mm-hmm. something. I stayed up until 1:05
uh-huh.
for that horrendous Jimmy Kimmel thing, because he kept, you know, and you know that with a lot of important mm-hmm. movies and series,
yeah,
they will film several endings so that, A, if one is leaked, they can always switch it, mm-hmm. you know, and that kind of thing. So all this, that week he's saying, see the alternative endings, and I thought, oh, well, that, you know, I'm going to mm-hmm. see. I think even the actors that were guests on there were kind of disgusted.
Were they like? I didn't watch it because I know who Jimmy Kimmel
is. Matthew Fox was mm-hmm. on. He was the first one to come out. They didn't even have a chair for him. They had like a beach scene, and mm-hmm. it was really loose sand. So everybody's pouring sand out of their shoes. At first, he comes out, and he's like having to balance against a 50-gallon oil drum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when they came back from commercial break, they had a box for him to sit on. Then they brought out Ben and Locke,
mm-hmm.
and they all just kind of looked really uncomfortable. And the thing was, he was trying to throw one-liners out, like he was really being funny. And then Claire and Widmore, Jen, I don't know, Josh Holloway was in Toronto, I think, filming something. So he did like a video thing
yeah.
in there. But, you know, it was, oh, Michael. Yeah. Only one of the three endings, because they were all spoofs, that he can, one was Newhart rolling over in bed, and it turns out it's Kate in bed with him. And then
in
the
bed
two
with
producers.
Who, Michael,
huh?
In bed with who?
Newhart.
Oh.
He starts with his, oh, I had this dream about I owned an inn and Vermont or
gotcha,
something, and
yeah.
she rolls over and says, I had a dream I was playing a castaway on it. It was just, the only one that was kind of funny was, oh, Saeed was there too.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember the actors' names, but the one ending was Jeff Probst from Survivor, and they put out Saeed's torch, and then Michael walks up behind him, and he looks at him and says, "Where in the hell have you been?" And then, you know, like the privacy camera shot that they always do at the end of Survivor with the person that just got booted off. They'd bleep him. But it was was funny. But for the most part, that was a wasted hour. Are you all right? Did you lose another one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Can you see?
Ish.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's real dry.
If my wife's
listening.
Didn't
you get it wet? I don't have any eye drops with me either.
We're good.
If my wife's listening, I need a ride home.
All right. Well, my opinion.
Yes,
right?
What is your opinion?
Okay.
Since you just have watched the whole thing in the last 6 months.
I now know what women feel like when... What's the term they use? The one-minute man?
Yeah, among many others, but that'll work, yeah.
Build up, build up, build up, build up. Nothing. I was like... Appointment.
Huh. I know.
That's it? An unsatisfied woman is how I felt.
Did you? Well, and you know, we're not alone in that. There were an awful lot of people that were really...
Well, here's why, Lo. Like, okay, you have the TV series that always throws somebody for a loop, that always has a twist ending, that is always has something new, that's never what you think it is, and it's the ending that everybody thought since season two.
Yeah.
And, but right. Oh, they
yeah,
are.
You're right.
They
I
are
don't
all
think
dead now.
It was.
Oh.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I
How don't I, you?
Okay, but that's only just for
yeah,
the...
Like, yeah, okay, instead of being on the island, they're dead, but that's what everybody thought, but now it's like, oh, the island was reality, but they're dead.
Yeah, they had to be dead to be there in the church.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I'm not like they were all in purgatory on the island. That's whatever. I'm just...
And the world that they created, I mean, they all had to work jobs. They all had, I mean, it was way too detailed than just crossing over into a fantasy world.
You
know
what
I mean?
The sideways, yeah.
Yeah, the sideways was, you know, Jack had a pager on him and he had to do surgery and he was doing surgery on people. You know what I mean? It's not just.
Yeah.
There was lives and existence and things to get through. And
I know.
If he never had a son, then who was the son?
Yeah, that's what it was, because that was my, and I'm still trying to like the son. Because now that kid was on the island one time. There was a kid on the island in one of the last few episodes that Locke saw or something.
Yeah, but that's not the
no,
same
that's
kid.
Not
but
the
that
same wasn't kid.
No way.
No,
that
no,
kid
no,
was
no.
Young Jacob.
Yeah, that was Jacob as a
See,
child.
Here's the difference. Gotcha. When we watch a TV show, we pay attention.
I do pay attention. I honestly thought it was the same kid.
No.
Because I thought, I was like, oh, okay, but who's the kid?
Well, now he may have been, but I don't remember anybody ever referring to this. He may have been a kid that had been on the plane, so you had him perhaps in the first two episodes of the whole thing.
And not
but I
attention.
Don't know. I don't know. Yeah, because, you know, the others came and snatched all the kids.
Because, I mean, there was the lawyers, and then there was, you know, they had the meeting of what to do with the will. And,
no, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
That was not buyable. I didn't buy it.
I don't know. I
mean,
think they
saying,
were working through stuff. And
see, I like how they were making connections. And when they started connecting everything, I was like, oh, my God, something amazing is going to happen.
I know. And then
it was like,
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, that's what I was
now.
Waiting for. And I really wondered, how were they going to reconcile? Because once they started having those flashes to reality, then I thought, well, how are they going to reconcile this life with this life? You know, and I'm still
and
thinking
like, oh,
in terms of like Fringe, where you do have a thin membrane between dimensions. And that's what I thought it was, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me how they were going to reconcile one to the other.
Yeah.
And now, touching moments, when they would touch and they would get the glimpses of the reality.
I'm not going to lie. Charlie and Claire.
Oh, my God. I was
cried
sobbing.
Like a baby.
Yeah.
No, I didn't cry like a baby, but I got a little watery.
Or when Charlie crashes the car. And he puts his hand up just like he did in the thing with not Penny's boat.
Yeah.
Oh. And then Faraday. Now, Faraday didn't go. Yeah. And that's one thing that his mom said, are you taking him? And he said, no, he's staying here with you for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, how was Desmond appointed as this?
Because he could go between the two.
And how
that was kind of his.
And how is the mother, knowing what that place is and how it is, why didn't she cross? Why can't she? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it a force thing? Do you get to choose in
when you cross? Well, evidently you do.
A lot of questions.
Because Ben chose. And it wasn't like he wasn't invited. Ben chose not. And I thought Ben probably stayed behind from whatever he imagined was going to go on in the church because he had made that connection with Rousseau and Alex, and he was going to go back and be the dad that he should have been in reality.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of
You know, but in the same with Anna Lucia, I mean, she's still so messed up. But there were other people, too, that weren't in the church. So, and then Michael.
Okay, there was Hurley's mom. Remember, Hurley went to an award show or whatever. Yeah. You know, so there's that entire audience at the award show and Hurley's mom that says, hey, Hurley, you need a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The other one was, crap.
But now they said, though, that those people were the ones that they created that place because they had a significant.
Yeah, they
the
have,
most significant thing in their entire life was being on the island.
Well, being with those people.
Being with those people.
You had to remember those people that got you through that.
To Hurley, it's not necessarily his mom. To Ben, it's not necessarily those people. It's Rousseau.
Alex.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It's just Alex, really. And Hurley, but, you know, he'd go later on.
Yeah.
To him, it's really Rousseau. So, I mean, I think that's part of the...
But then, now here's Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, I thought, redeemed himself.
But
he
now,
did some bad things, but he redeemed himself when he chose to stay on the freighter to help, you know, hopefully get everybody else off. So, you know, but why wasn't Michael there then? Michael is stuck with Echo and some other people
on the island.
On the island. Forever is a murmuring voice, I guess. Yeah. I don't, you know. So it's.
And Walt, that was the useless character.
Yeah. Why was Walt
that's
so
just because
special?
He
had the special psychic buildup that they were like, let's not do anything with it.
Well, that was pre-season 4.
Yeah. I think the reason there is because if you notice or if you've ever seen a picture of him now, I mean, the hope
he's not very photographic anymore.
Well, no, he's you know, they hired this kid before puberty.
Well, but
he
so
hits
you recast
puberty
it.
And now he's
you recast
that's what I think
it.
Too.
I mean,
well, even that, I mean, time traveled on in Lost. I mean, it's not well, and, they know they were there for years.
And we did see Walt as a teenager when Ben was going around and visiting everybody. So, I mean, you know, they did have some, because there was an episode that was pretty Walt-centric.
Yeah, I can remember that.
And, you know, so you use that, but, you know, once again, that was pre-season 4.
I don't know. There's a lot of untied up. We're getting close to where we're bringing Joe. Let's go around 1 to 10, 1 being sucks, 10 being awesome. Jordan.
Of the finale?
Of the finale.
Or the series?
The series.
I loved. It was an amazing series. But the last, like Lola said, 20 minutes. Was a waste of breath.
So
I could have went napped.
What would you give
not...
the finale then? Eh. Just because of that 20 minutes.
I put it up there with Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Now, see, I thought everything up until that last 20 minutes was excellent. But then it was literally, I turned the TV off.
The Lost foreplay was great.
Yeah. 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 Kind of like on my dates.
Would it have ever lived up to any of the hype?
No, it didn't live up to that.
I mean, would it, though? Would it? I mean, does
it had the
like
potential
ever?
To do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think, but, you know, I thought it was great. You liked it.
I give it a 7. I mean, I still like Fringe a lot better than Lost.
Oh, I love Fringe.
And Fringe has a lot, you know, I like the ideas more. I think, I can't even remember the name of the doctor right now because I'm thinking so much of Lost.
Dr.
Quinn?
No, not Dr. the medicine Who? Woman. No, not the goof either.
Walt?
Oh, man.
Why can't I remember?
Walter.
I love Walter.
Yeah.
Now, with Fringe.
I think he's one of the most tragic figures, I mean, out there
is.
Now. And it really, and I like the story behind it. And I think that is becoming more of what I was expecting out of Lost. Lost got tied up into its issues and. At one point, you start trying to get a story to have so many twists that you end up like one of those comic characters where you're tangled up into a mess. See, and you can't get yourself out of it.
It's more like a liar that forgets all of his lies.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just is tangled up to the point where you can't untangle it.
Well, see, this is why Todd and I started watching Lost mm-hmm. together, and he really liked it until like season two and into season three. It got to be almost like a job, yeah. You know, and they had now come to find out, of course, that a lot of the symbolism and stuff that they were throwing in there really had no meaning to the story itself. You know, it was in there. And if you were clever enough to, and I wasn't, I don't know anything about philosophers and all this other stuff. I mean, if you were, and then people started actively working. I mean, all the blogs mm-hmm. and everything that went along with it. It just, the symbolism got to be so much that if you really immersed yourself in it, that's all you could do.
Yeah.
But with Fringe, I love the show. I love Walter.
Yeah.
But there are episodes that I could completely do without. If they're not dealing with the other dimension and that kind of stuff, I could do without them. I don't care about him opening up these creepy like creatures and having weird stuff
See,
pop out
I
of them.
I enjoy that. I miss X-Files. I loved X-Files and I miss that kind of show. It reminds me more of that because it's kind of the, you know, the same kind of, not the same, but and then I also like tragic kind of, plus I love mad scientists.
Well,
so.
there's a new series. I don't even know what channel it's going to be on, but it's going to be along the lines of Harper's Island, at least,
yeah.
Where it's a finite amount of time. It's going to start and end this summer.
Really?
Now, that happy town, thank God. That was poor Sam Neill. He's out of work again. But that was horrible.
Whatever show's coming out. And here's another thing. There was a commercial break every 4 minutes.
In the last hour.
That was
crap. I know it. They did that with 24 last night,
did they?
Too. Yeah, the second hour always has far more commercials than wait to use 24. You want to talk about a series finale
Lily says the Observers. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. Is it starting? I just remember seeing a commercial for it. And see, John's been giving me trailers here to watch, like The Cape. That looks really good. And No yeah. Ordinary Family. And there's a couple other ones. But I'm getting them all. Because, see, I don't usually watch any TV in real time. I record everything and watch it, even if I just started a half hour later. That yeah. way I can zap. So I know I just caught the tail end of some commercial, but I can't even tell you what
it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be on TNT or USA. I love those cable networks. Oh, man. FX. You can't go wrong. Most of their stuff is really, really good. Really, really good.
I agree.
Well, Pen Trip.
Coming up June 30th.
Yes. I am buying a K2.
Are you really?
If I can, yeah.
You can find one. You can get it online.
I found one for $59.
There you go.
And because I watched another Ghost Hunters today, the Manson family one.
Yeah.
And that guy, he's not part of TAPS particularly. He had that thing dancing. He had Jay Sebring was answering questions with it. Because he was one of the ones that was murdered.
I think I've seen that episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And there was another one, too, we watched the other day that was really, really good. I don't remember now what one it was. But, yeah, I
bet it was Ghost Adventures.
But for those that are...
Was it Ghost Adventures?
Yeah. No, Ghost... No, it's
or
Ghost
Destination Honor. Truth? Is that
No,
is that
there's
show?
No... I've seen all those on demand. I can't...
But next week, Lola, we have Dwayne Claude and Herb Street.
Oh, good.
Will be on the show. They're going to be the two gentlemen that are going
with us. Yes.
Going with us, and they'll both be giving talks beforehand. Dwayne Claude, of course, on demonology. Herb Street on his, you know, method, and then of course they will be at the pen with us the entire night.
Have you heard from Sherry?
No, I was going to say. maybe we'll get Jordan to give her a call.
I'll try to get hold of her.
Because he can text her. So he's a texting machine.
But pen trip, $65. We got openings. Go to whispersradio.com. Click on the ghost hunt section. There's like, Nick put it everywhere on there. You can't miss it. You can buy the tickets on PayPal. We're going to have shirts made. We've been talking to, with some people about designs and the shirts and all
and
that kind of good stuff.
The design is awesome.
We've gotten some pretty good designs.
Okay.
Everybody's going to be getting a t-shirt with the ticket price. They're going to be getting a presentation from both the Wing Claw and Herb Street. That's going to be free with the ticket price. So it's going to be a great night. It's June 30th. Make sure you join us because it's going to be amazing.
I think so.
And when will we be picking the design for the shirt?
We better do it.
Probably soon.
Yes, okay.
We'll be doing that soon.
Okay.
Okay, let's take a break.
All right.
Come back with Joe Montaldo.
You're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600, WKKX, The Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We'll be right back with Joe Montaldo. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, The Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 80 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. It is hot. It is sunny.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, it was miserable on the roof.
Yes. Yes.
Was there a fiddler?
There was a fiddler, actually. Sure. His name was Lenny, the magical fiddling elf. No, I'm sorry.
Gosh. I didn't go along with your contact. You lost your mind.
Oh, yeah, so I got contacts now. Yeah. I've had them in a day, and I've already lost it. And I got astigmatism in this eye, so it's real thick. So it keeps, like, popping out on
me. Ew. Okay.
Wow, thank
Enough
you.
Enough information.
You should bring your glasses just in case this kind of stuff happens.
I know, right?
Did, like, nobody tell you to do that? No. I didn't think you could wear them for long periods of time at first anyway.
I can't. I just put them in before the show.
Oh, I see.
I know, right?
I know. Okay.
Just my luck.
All right.
Dag nabbit!
Mammoth. Mammoth.
All right, Nikki, you want to introduce our guest?
Well, I'm just going to say no.
Okay.
Look at you. All right, Joe. Dude, I won't do that to Joe Montaldo, though. All right, Joe Montaldo is the co-founder, international director, and spokesperson for ICAR, International Community for Alien Research. I guess our boss at UPRN, and he also has UFO Paranormal Radio Network. What am I doing? UFO Undercover. I'm sorry, Joe. You can kick me off anytime you want. UFO Undercover, talk radio show dealing with UFOs. I can't talk today, so Joe, just come on to you. Come on the
show. Hi guys, how y'all doing?
Hey Joe.
Not too good.
We don't let Nikki talk much, but when he does, he messes. Oh,
oh no. Remember, he's sitting there.
It's only live radio. What the hell?
You know, people just put way too much emphasis on live.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever pays attention to the mess-ups anyway.
Well,
not true. You should read some of my emails.
Ah, so you must talk about them then. Yeah. If you don't harp on them or you just ignore them after they happen, 99 and 9/10 everybody just forgets them.
Well, I have people that, hey, Jordan, remember 2 weeks ago when you said blah, 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 blah? Yeah.
And he's the only one that gets the hate mail, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, those kind you can get. I get people all the time to write, and they tell me, well, you're just wrong. I'm like, well, tell me why, please.
They're very detailed about Jordan. Here's when you were wrong. Here's the breakdown. If you listen to 51:22 to 55, you said several wrong things in there.
Remember when your guest mentioned spaghetti, and then when you were getting in a deep conversation, you murmured, God, I love spaghetti.
Don't feel bad. I did a whole show one night drunk on White Russians, and nobody even knew I cracked. I mean, I come in, I was loaded. Lucky I could find the headset, and still somehow another. And I listened to the archive. I obviously was drunk. I didn't even get not one person write to me. I was like, is anybody listening tonight?
See, Lola doesn't let us partake.
Well, that's the only time I've ever done it. But I was actually coming from a party. And I promised myself I wasn't going to drink. And I'll just have one White Russian, just one. Then we started doing Jell-O shots.
Yeah, they're like Lay's potato chips. You can't have just one.
After a dozen or so, I'm like, man, I need to go. And then we had a few more drinks after that, and I finally came home. No, I didn't drive, ladies and gentlemen. No, I didn't.
Very good.
See, now we were even at a bar for months there, you know, and we never had a show drunk.
I would have had to have some Jaegers up there because it's cold where y'all live. That would have gave me an excuse. Give me a shot of Jaeger.
Oh, cool. God.
We don't let Jordan hardly drive the way he is. I mean, he can barely see now, and he's got to ride home with him. So I don't want to get him loaded.
Actually, Lily, it was on Wake Up USA, and I'm not going to tell you who I interviewed because I don't want them to know I'm drunk when I interviewed them. Because it's somebody important in the field, and they don't need to know that.
Everybody's over there now. It was me.
It was. Oh yeah, they'll start writing. That's true.
People are going through your archives right now.
Actually, I don't think they can get those. That's from the old show, Wake Up USA, and only half those are available because the guy who owns the show or used to produce the show is a butt. And that's all I can say on G-rated radio.
Now, this is the show you did. This is politics, correct? It was.
No, that's what actually got me into radio. I was running iCar, and a gentleman named Jeff came up and asked me if I would like to take over a show called Wake Up USA, a UFO study. Huh. And I said, well, not really. And then a few friends of mine said, well, you ought to do it. And he was a PAL talker, so I used to see him on PAL Talk. And finally, I said, well, I'll give it a try. I mean, how much of an idiot can I actually sound like? And I said, I did it for 5 years. But when I bought the station, he got upset, and he didn't want me running Wake Up USA on a station, which I couldn't understand. I'm like, dude, I got way more listeners than you do. Why would you not want the show aired? I said, besides, all the voice belongs to me anyway. And he's like, well, I just don't want to. He said, you don't need to rebroadcast anything. I said, well, fine, then I'll just start a new show. And that's how UFO on the Cover became to be. Because I was happy there. It was a good show. It was about a... About a 20-year-old show. Jeff Hickman used to do it. Charles Clark used to do it. The first host got killed in very mysterious circumstances. No one ever figured out what happened, but the NSA and all was looking into it. And, you know, there were some other famous ufologists that hosted the show, so I was in good company, and I enjoyed doing the show, but we just couldn't come to that. Since then, the show's went defunct. It doesn't exist anymore, and the site's still up, but they don't do the radio anymore, which is a shame. Because really, there's some really good interviews there between me and everybody else.
I'm looking at the site here now. Our master archive over 1,000 hours spread over 10 years.
Yeah.
It's for sale to the highest bidder.
Yeah, for sale for the highest bidder.
$3. $3.
Yeah,
Going once.
I had a friend of mine on behalf of mine make him an offer, I think, of like $15,000, and he said no.
What?
So you're $3?
No, because he knew they were friends of mine.
You know if somebody offered $15,000.
I'll sell you archives I got now if you want to give me 15 G's. Look, and I got lots of them, guys.
The Whispers radio archives, $20.
I think we're over 10,000 archives now, 20,000 hours of research or entertainment or whatever you would like to call some of the stuff that goes across the airwaves. Actually, some of it's really good research and some of it's really good entertainment. It just depends what day you catch everybody on. You know how it goes. When you do live radio, you never know how it's going to come out until you're actually finished with it. I was listening to y'all talk about those TVs. You know, TV is evil. 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 Mm. I tried to get into Lost and all, and then somebody told me it was about alien abductions. I said, well, I can't watch this. Lord.
No, it wasn't. Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
That actually would have been maybe a good ending.
Yeah, no, because somebody kept pushing it. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll wait till the series, like I always do. I'll wait till the series ends, and then I'll watch it.
Yeah, that's the best
way
to
do it. The backwards, forward. I like to watch them from the end to the beginning. Don't ask me why. It's one of them dumb things. But, hey, it works for me.
It probably won't affect your watching at all.
Oh, come on, you guys. It was. We'll never see TV like that again. Yeah. Truthfully, we'll never see.
Well, that's
TV
what they
like
said
that
after
again.
Twin Peaks and X-Files and every other show.
No, this was something different. This was something special.
Well, now I'm gonna have to watch it. Lola's gonna make me go use up all kind of hours.
She has that kind of ability, Joe.
I'm gonna have to watch it. Now you know if this program ain't good, Lola, I'm coming to cut.
I will schedule that interview.
Joe, you got to tell us what's new going on with iCar.
Oh, Lord. Actually, right now, I'm running it. It's a program called Project Big Mouth.
Project Big Mouth.
Yeah. What it is I've been talking with a bunch of our contactees and that are in the organization or work for the organization, and we're going to come out with an opening. It's going to be 50 abductees that all come out at the same time. They'll all go public from the same time, from different, some of them are reptilian, some of them are gray, some of them are humans. But they'll all come out. All the cases have been investigated, not just by us. A lot of these cases have actually been investigated by MUFON or other people in the field. So I just call it Project Big Mouth because it's, you know, a lot of these people are personal friends of mine, and they have big mouths. I'll edit that.
This has nothing to do with you.
Y'all haven't seen nothing yet. And so it's something so the field has that. And then a friend of ours, November Hansen, who hosts The Voice of the People, she just got through with the Gray Questionnaire. There's a questionnaire on the ICAR site for grays. It's a 77-question questionnaire. She just finished the book. You can find it. It's on the first page of the ICAR site. She's just doing conclusions, no opinions, anything like that, just database stuff. Since then, they've had about another 100 of these applications, another 100 of these questionnaires come in. She's working on the reptilian questionnaire now. It's going to be going up on the site probably in a month or two. It'll be doing the same thing, and then she'll do a thing on that. Now, what's really interesting about this, when she finally finishes and she does the humans and the light beings, ICRAS, we set up a new database, which is accessible for, this will be accessible for directors and assistant directors and investigators, where all this data will be pulled in there along with all the different caseloads and cases we have and friends and cases we have. And people like Kay Wilson and Near Ear Isley and Mariam and Jim and all their cases will be in there as well. It's actually right now, it's already a built database. It's the only database like it in the world. I mean, there's nowhere in the world that you can find this much information about abductions anywhere. I mean, if you took every major researcher and put them together with the exception of us, they still wouldn't have this much data at their fingertips. And to boot, we've incorporated Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, Yvonne Smith, Daryl Sims. All of their data is being dumped in this database as well. So it'll definitely be the most comprehensive research or database that you'll have access to. And probably, to make it fair to my fellow researchers, the non-ICAR directorship, I should say, I'll probably do a little fee and let them have access to it with a special code so I know who it is that's accessing the database. But it's what it's really for. You know, it's really for investigators to really be able to get in and do some really comparison study research, which is what the organization I work for does. I mean, we do primarily, we're a support group that accumulates data and does comparison studies to find out, you know, what can we find out as far as, you know, why the aliens are here, what the aliens are doing. I guess my dogs want to be famous today.
I was going
to
say, right. We'd like to talk to the dog first.
You see that? They're vicious sounding little devils, man.
And what kind of dog do you have here?
Oh, man, those are my Rottweilers, man. They're Chihuahuas. They're Chihuahuas, man. One of them is a 4-pound terror, and I mean he's a terror, and the other one's about 11-pound terror. He looks like he's like a mini pincher, but he's brown, but he's definitely a Chihuahua. They're insane.
My dad had a Chihuahua that was blind, and you know, and my dad's one of those people, he finds an animal, you know, they were going to put it to sleep, and he's like, no, you can't, you know, I'll take it, because he can't, you know, he doesn't like having animals get hurt. So this thing would run around the house, and, you know, it'd be running, bam, right into the wall. And he said, I was like, is it okay? It'll wake up in a while, you know. And, of course, you have to know my dad. I mean, you know, he's a... the best way I can describe him. He's fried some nerves, you know, in his head by smoking
substances that
are illegal. But
herbal cigarettes.
Yes, herbal cigarettes. So, you know, and he'll wake up eventually.
On that note,
well,
yeah.
tell him to move to Cali. I got a friend out there that's got a pot farm. They'll probably get along really well. I'm serious. A friend of mine just up and moved to California and bought a pot farm.
I'm sure my dad could be a rancher.
Like 100 acres. I'm like, dude, you don't even smoke pot. He said, I will after this.
On that note, it's time for CNN News. We'll be right back. You're listening to Whispers Anywhere.
Dawn's light. free my mind, get you out of sight. All across this open sea, sparkle blue beauty like a young man's dream.
Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours. At the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Whispers Radio. It is 7:08 p.m., 80 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. I had to take a breath there at the end.
I guess. Drink another Red Bull.
You were asking if we were on the air because of our conversation.
We were just talking about Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, but I was thinking Joe actually probably heard everything we
said.
Yes,
I'm sure Joe did, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, I'm recording this for blackmail later. I may need a favor.
How dare you, Montaldo?
I may need a favor. Yeah.
You don't know much about us because we have no money.
Yeah.
No, we don't want money favors. Money favors are we save them for like, you know, Bill or somebody like that.
Yeah, that was quite the conversation during the commercial break, so yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I tell people all the time, if they could actually hear the conversations between me and the guests at the breaks, it would make you, because some of the stuff we talk about, and then some of the stuff that people are working on that they won't talk about on the air.
Yeah.
Which is, and that's some other stuff that definitely should not be on the air.
We've had one time where Jordan had to, like, we went to break and Jordan walks over to the phone. And I don't think Lola was here, but.
Yeah, I think Lola was here.
No, this is the one that I'm thinking of. I don't want to make
names. I picked up the phone and I was like, listen, buddy. Step up your game. And it was like a year into it before we realized that the guests could listen to us when we were on break.
Well, you know, you can set that the way they can't hear you. Well, I don't know if y'all can, but I can. I can set it the way they can't hear me if I don't want them to hear. I can actually switch between things and take them out of the queue. So.
Yeah, I think I can too. But
yeah, you probably can. Yeah. It's just, don't do it because I'll forget to put them in the queue.
I know.
And I'm going back live. So.
I did that the other day. Somebody was on a remote, and I took it out of aux too, and so that they couldn't hear me back here. And then I'm trying to talk to them. I think, why are you ignoring me? Nobody could hear a word I was saying.
Of course, we would think we'd put you in the queue and be like, Montaldo, I can't stand him. And then go back, he's like, I'm not talking anymore. And hang up, like, wonder why I did that. You know, something like that happened.
I did record one time one of the guests that was on a different show, and I recorded the break, and I didn't realize it. And during the break, the guest was talking about how much he didn't like his job. And Stupid Joe put it up on the air. Look at this guy. Actually, on this guy, he's fairly famous in the field. He does TV and radio, and he calls me up like 2 days later, Joe, please take the archive down. I'm like, why? And he went. I'm like, oh, God, I'll get it down right now. Oh, I had to go in there. I couldn't believe I did it. But I don't ever listen to the archives. You know, I it's like y'all's. I just download y'all's and put them in the rerun queue with everybody else. I'm not listening to them. I'm hoping everybody's being good.
You trust we're not talking about
it. Well, it's a physical impossibility for me to listen. And we've got 9 new shows coming on the station in the next 3 weeks. And
wow.
What kind of shows?
Most of them are paranormal related because we've got so many ufology shows now. I'm reluctant to pull any more on the network. But most of these are paranormal related. One of them, believe it or not, is God and the paranormal. I just can't wait to hear this. I wasn't going to take this show, by the way, and then I listened to 3 of the episodes, and they're actually quite good. And I'm like, damn, because I try to stay out of the religion thing altogether. It's just a dangerous thing to get into.
Yeah, we found that out sometimes, too.
And so I try to stay out of it, but in this case, they're really holy roller Christians. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they're serious, the kind that you lock your door when you see them coming down the street kind of Christians. but I should have said that on air, but still.
So we erased that.
They are, but they really present the paranormal in a very unique manner. And they're not trying to debunk it, and they're not trying to say it doesn't exist, and they're not even trying to say it's all bad or evil. They're doing a really good job. So I said, well, I'll be fair and give them a shot. And
you were like, man, they're going to be like the next Whispers Radio.
Y'all do really good on the network. Yeah, y'all are between 20,000 and 40,000 listeners anytime I pull a poll. on this show. So,
wow.
You know, y'all always do really well. And it's an early time slot for us. I mean, on the West Coast, y'all are coming on like 3 o'clock, which is an early slot, and it's still you're pulling a good audience. So, you know, and these days, like on Live 365 and some of the other services, I can actually see individual cities, what they're pulling. You know, so I can go in a particular city like New York. Like last time I looked a little while ago, I think there was like 3,800 people listening to us in New York. It's just cool to be able to see that.
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
listening where. It also helps when we want to target ads. You know, I can say, well, you know, X amount of people are going to listen to this show in this area at this time. So it helps. But there's 7 of the shows, or, you know, oh, I'm sorry, there's 10 new shows coming on.
Oh, okay.
7 of the new shows are syndications. We're picking them up from another network and some other shows that I listen to that I like. And 3 of them are actually exclusives to the network that are coming on. One of them is a political show, but that's just for me and some of the other hosts or even syndicated hosts that ever just want to get a rant on. That's mm-hmm. what the show's for. BBC carries it sometimes. So far, they've picked up 5 of the shows that I've done. On Change in America, they played all 5 of those. And on the Sundays with Joe Mantella, they played 3 of those. And those are actually really hardcore ranting. They love it, though. They love it. And matter of fact, they were using it in the UK. They were taking clips out of it because of stuff I was saying about, like, the First Lady and other things. Because I did a prediction show. Well, you know, in November, I was talking about it earlier. I did a show on her, one of her shows called Voice of People. I did a prediction show about Barack Obama, what would happen if he got elected and what would go on and where we would be 2 years into it. With a 10% unemployment rate and a couple other things that I said, which happened to be what's going on right now. So it's been getting a lot of play and a lot of press because, you know, I listed 100 items on the show. So far, like 95 of them have come to pass. So they're loving it.
There you go.
But none of this was brilliance or genius stuff. This was all really fairly obvious kind of stuff that you could just pretty much tell the way the regime was going and the emperor was working that this is what was going
to
happen.
So getting back to ICAR. You know, we started talking about, you know, what's new, and we kind of sidetracked there. What's going on now with ICAR?
Well, that's another thing we're working on with ICAR, too, is no religion or politics involved in the research other than witnesses that may happen to be religious or happen to have some political job. It's kind of a teaching thing I've been working on the different directors with because it's hard. And it's hard for the different members sometimes to lay their politics aside when they're it's a tough thing because it really is. It's you know, if you believe one way, if you're following the abduction thing and you're doing the research, you have to remember when you listen to this person talk, whatever they're talking about, you just have to remember, okay, if they like a president or they don't like a president, if they like a god or they don't like a god, you can't really let that determine what goes on in your decision as far as the research.
Yeah, it doesn't affect what's going on.
Which actually has turned out to be a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Why is that?
Because most people can't do it. Religion and politics from what they're doing, they just can't. It's really, really hard. And I mean, a lot of our directors are really good and do it. But most of our directors are older, too, and you know, 30, 40, 50 years old. So it's a little easier. They've been around a little longer. And they can separate, but still, it's something we've got to teach all the new people coming in and you know, not to judge somebody by their religion, because like, I'll give you an example. There's 2 Hare Krishnas that are actually alien abductees, which still, by the way, is like an oxymoron in itself. And with talking to these guys is insanely wild. I mean, it's just wild.
Well,
because
how do they
can't help but go into their religious spew when they're trying to tell me about what's happened to them.
How do they perceive what's going on?
Well, at first they tried to write it off as it was like God or some kind of inspiration, and they tried to write it off as a devil thing, but The one guy, I'm not going to mention his name, he said they were praying one day. They were out in the field praying, him and his friend and these 2 other guys were just in the middle of the field praying. I have no idea why. I didn't ask. And he said the UFO just came down and landed in front of him. He said at that point there was no denying. This isn't a god, and this isn't a demon. This is an extraterrestrial. So that's when, I guess, reality kicked in, logic kicked in, and they realized that the religion wasn't going to protect them from. I think that was the biggest disappointment for these guys. They realized that their prayers and their religion wasn't going to stop the abduction from happening. And that's the reason they came and seen me, because someone told them I could stop alien abductions, which I can't do. I know there's lots of people out there that claim they can, but I can't. I would never tell anybody we could stop their alien abductions.
No, I don't know how anybody could claim that they can.
Well, people do it all the time. And you know, Lord, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of my arguments is when I'm doing lectures, one of the arguments is people will ask me why, or they'll tell me how they can stop the alien. They'll still get mad, and they'll get the, or they'll just resist all the time and not make it worth their while. So the first thing out of my mouth is, I said, can you stop a military abduction? I said, if Uncle Sam was coming in to take you, could you stop them from abducting you in any shape, form, or fashion? And the answer is always the same. It's no. I said, so why would you think a more advanced, a more sophisticated society than ours, you could stop? I said, you have less of a chance with them than you do with the government. At least you could go out with a fighting chance with the government if you broke out the guns. But it's one of those things. So, and there's a lot of people that say they can stop aliens. There's a lot of groups.
And that's more based on, you know, because we've talked to a lot of people that, like, oh, well, if you pray, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Joe Jordan bunch, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I mean, I can understand if, you know, like, we're going to the demons, you know, perhaps, but, you know, if you know, I'll keep the if there. If this is, you know, a other species is coming that's got higher, you know, that's not going to work. I mean, you know, it's not necessary. I mean, you know, that just doesn't make sense, I guess.
But, Joe, tell me this. Can you kill an extraterrestrial? I mean, are we capable of doing that? Like, you know, in all the movies, they always show, you know, that something lands and then the military is there and they're firing rockets at it and they're shooting machine guns at the people that come out. Can they be killed, or is this, you can't do that? I don't know anything about it.
Well, there's a scene in Independence Day when the scientist is telling him that they're a lot like us and they're easily killed. It's just we can't get past their technology, and that's really what it comes down to. The Greys have a shielding system that I don't think we'll even understand for another 100,000, 200,000 years, if we're that lucky. I know the human type and reptilian type aliens are built and designed a lot like us. We probably share a common DNA with them. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I imagine you could cap them and kill one of them if you could get a gun and if you could shoot the gun. But they have technologies that seem to neutralize things like projectile weapons. They seem to be able to neutralize them. Anything electronics, they almost immediately neutralize. Yeah. So, you know, and they can even neutralize your brainwave. So, and a lot of times they're passively scanning you when they're abducting you. So they get the thought before you actually get the thought that you're going to shoot them. So it's going to be really, really hard. I would never rule out that someone might get lucky and cap an alien. I just don't think it. I think if you did one, you would regret it.
Bust a cap.
But you can't rule out, because they are physical beings like we are, you can't rule out that one of them couldn't be killed. I think in the Greys case, they would really freak, because from what I understand about the Greys, they don't really die very often. They have a very, 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 very long lifespan. So it's probably a shock to them when one of them dies. From what I've been told from contactees, they actually have an unlimited lifespan. Their body doesn't age like ours does. It's not an aging effect to their body. They can be killed and they can die of disease, but as far as their overall design, there's not a biological clock that turns off.
Well, you think it would have, if they do have a biological clock, it certainly would make sense that they would, in our terms, almost be immortal.
Yeah.
If they can travel these distances in such a short period of time that, you know, time to them is entirely different than what we perceive time to be.
Yeah.
And see, that's a very good point, because one of the things we tell contactees, and we learned this early on, is you may be being abducted. Let's say, like, you know, the mom, the dad, the children are all being abducted. Of course, that means that the great-grandparents and the great-great-grandparents and so on and so forth were abducted along the way, too. What's funny about this is we found this, because right now we're doing generational cases. We have six generations, a couple of cases that span five and six generations.
God.
The gray that's picking up the great-great-great-grandmother mm-hmm. is the same gray that's picking up the great-granddaughter.
Huh, really?
So this one gray is spanning these six generations. Well, when you think about it, they have an unlimited lifespan. That gray was the one that probably was the first abductee. Your whatever your great 100 or 200 time removed grandpa was that was originally abducted, that was probably the same alien. So he's actually probably more familiar with your family than you are. It's one of the things that's always freaked me out about this, because at first I was like, you know, there's these three grays and they're flip-flopping, but the more I study these cases, the more I realize these grays stayed within specific groups. They were abducting specific families, and they were abducting all throughout the family. Now, sometimes they will cut off an abduction. When a person is no longer useful, or if that lineage is going the wrong way, they will stop.
Well, what would cause that?
Well, give you examples. Like family, that we'll use the Millers, and I'm not going to say they're all their names, but they have 12 kids.
Wow. Okay? Well, not related.
Yeah, you know, they, yeah. Well.
No, to me. That's
you got 12 kids, I feel for you, baby.
Lola, something you want to tell us?
But anyway, well, no, that's their real last name is Millers, and there's 12 kids, and they'll know if they're listening to me who they are. They have 12 kids. All of them have been abducted, but at least six of the kids, or seven of the kids, have not been abducted since an early age. Even under hypnosis, there's no abductions there. For some reason, those children were no longer what the Greys were looking for, but the other six were. They still abduct them on a regular basis.
Really?
So, yeah, we can see whatever is in family generation. Sometimes it goes the opposite way if they want, so then that person's no longer useful to them.
I wonder if there's some genetic misguided thing in there that would make six of them ineligible for whatever it is that they're trying to do, but something that we can't as humans detect yet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're looking for a certain trait, like chromosome, that is recessive.
They're definitely engineering certain things into us. They're definitely increasing our telepathic, empathic abilities, telekinesis, all of it is being increased. You can see it just moving through a family line. You can see, like, you know, all the family members are psychic or semi-psychic. They're all empathic. And you can go back 100 generations and see it. And you can see it increasing with each one. I mean, in a lot of the cases now, when we're talking to the kids, it's really weird, like in these six-generation cases. You'll be sitting on a couch talking to them. There'll be 12, 15 people in there. And it gets to a point where there's hardly any words being said. But everything's coming across perfectly. But really, there's hardly any words being said. Gene might say two words, and then the other one might say two words, and then the whole paragraph is now and everything. It's really weird. It's really strange, but it's not uncommon in contactee families. It's one of those things. It's like the ones that'll tell you when you ask them. Everybody knows who's knocking at the front door. Everybody knows who's calling on the phone. Even in our family, we used to make bets on who was on the phone because everybody always knew who was on a damn telephone. And we had business phones in the house, and we always knew, which was really weird. But you find this in families a lot. So we know those abilities are increasing. We know they're working hybrid programs. So it has something to do with the reptilian and the human's DNA mixed with our DNA, and probably now even mixed with the Gray's DNA. What they're trying to create, it's hard to say, but if it's true, and we have our own DNA, and then we have the reptilians, the humans, and the Gray's DNA. Sometime in our future, we will surpass all three of these races mentally, physically, all the way around. So that might be what they're working for. They might be trying to speed that up to a point so they can actually see it. You know, maybe control it, maybe bring it in with them. It's hard to say, but you can watch how they work with each family and how they stay associated with these families and follow these families down. Even there's like... Diane's family, if they've got journals, like their grandmother kept journals, and the great, it goes back about 125 years. They talk about these little gray things coming in their windows and taking them at night.
Wow.
And it's in the journal. And
I wouldn't like that.
You can go through the whole family and see it. So it's a weird thing. It's a strange phenomenon, but it's there, and we can watch it, and we can see the increase in psychic abilities. Something else you find with these families is that they'll start off like a very religious family. Then they might even move into the dark arts, into Wicca, usually into New Age. And then somewhere along the line, they realize that all their abilities doesn't come from any secret source. It actually comes from their self, and they start to learn how to use them. Some work up much earlier than others, but, you know, it's a thing to watch. It's why you find so many contactees in the New Age field. They're just looking. They're looking for answers. You know, a lot of them don't even know they're abductees. They're just looking. They're wandering around like, you know, why do I feel like this? Why do I think like this? Why when I walk in a room, I know what everybody feels? Why when I'm mad, everybody around me gets mad at the same time? Hmm. You know, for an everyday person that doesn't know they're a contactee, it's weird to them. Strange.
Well, Joe, answer me this if you can, because you've had so much contact with people that have been abducted and have had contact. Do you have any inkling of what they really want, why they came here in the first place, and what they're at least initially were searching for?
You know, it's a tough thing because we have the Sumerian and the Egyptian. We got the Egyptian hieroglyphs and the Sumerian text.
Right.
And that tells us X amount. If you pay attention to the Sumerians, they said a race came here, and they said a race came here. That's the way they describe them. They don't call them gods. they call them very advanced, whatever, but they didn't call them God.
Right.
They came here and built two great white dome cities. The reason they built these two cities is because they couldn't breathe the atmosphere that we breathe. So what they did, they did a race just like themselves that could breathe the atmosphere. That race moved out onto the planet. Now, this is where it gets iffy. The race comes out and they're talking about this race, and this race finally says, well, why are we out mining the planet, cleaning the family? We're just as bright as the guys in the dome, except we can breathe the air. So they started what is called the seven creations of man. In those seven creations, they show you like human bodies with bird heads or winged people or things like that, with the last creation being human. Not human us, but human. And they talk about this in the Bible as well. A lot of the holy books talk about this. These humans could do things like they could procreate, they could plow the fields, they could sow, they could build things, but they really weren't sentient in the fact that they didn't ask, why do we exist? Why are we here? Why am I plowing the field for you, you lazy booger? Things like that they just didn't do. But the Sumerians, the Egyptians, and the Dogon all talk about an amphibious reptilian race that decided somewhere along the line to intervene in this. The Sumerians say they used to come in, steal the women, rape the women, bring the women back. The women would have children. The children were born. They were different. They didn't look different, but they acted different. They started asking questions like, well, why am I plowing the field?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to do this? Why do I exist? Why
in
are
other
you
words, they birthed the ruling
became,
class.
Yeah, they became sentient, self-aware is what they became. In the Christian Bible, it's just when the serpent gives Eve the apple, she bites the apple, she realized she's naked, she clothes herself because she became self-aware all of a sudden. She was no longer ignorant to her environment. She was aware that she was standing in the world naked. And it's, this story is everywhere. It starts with the Sumerians, and it's in every culture that exists on this planet, including all of the religious texts. So, you know, I know some people want to give credit to the Bible for it, but that wouldn't be fair because it was in the Sumerians, which was 4,000 years earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's there, and there's no escaping. And if it's true, then for sure we're related to at least the human-type aliens and the reptilian-type aliens. That was probably enough to bring the Greys here. The Greys said, well, wait a minute. They're creating a whole new race out here. They have no idea what they're doing, and that's probably when the Greys intervened, which was probably in the last 10 to 25,000 years. Most current theories have the reptilians native to planet Earth, from this planet. They said they left this planet somewhere 50, 60 million years ago and went and colonized several other solar systems. Because this planet had been messed up and wasn't inhabitable for them, but now it's habitable for them. And I find it interesting that we're always griping and moaning and complaining. This is what really bothers me. In the 70s, okay, I know y'all two guys are too young for this, but in the 70s they said the Ice Age was coming back, okay? This is just 30 years ago. That's all you heard. The Ice Age is on the way back. The Ice Age is on the way back. And all of a sudden, in the late 80s and early 90s, we started having global warming. I've always wondered how we went from the Ice Age to global warming. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, we were getting colder, now we're getting hot. Interesting. Like Louisiana has been getting cooler every year. And we're on the global, you know, we're supposed to be getting hotter, but for some reason it's getting cooler down here. Even though today it's like 96 degrees outside, still it's cooler than it usually is. Yeah, I know. Y'all complain about 80. It's 96 here with 100% humidity.
Oh, see, I love that kind of weather.
See, it's good, especially if you want to go lay out and bum around on the beach.
Yep.
It's good, too. See, I'm happy because I'll lose a good 30 pounds now in the summertime. Every summer, man, I just do.
You know where I'd be if I was down there?
In the air.
Inside.
Yeah. Inside. Inside somewhere.
The beaches are great, man. It's a great place to be. Go hang out on the beach and... I tell everybody wear reflective glasses because my legs are so white. But you know, it's a good place to be. It's nice this time. Actually, it was nice last month when it was in the high 70s and the wind was blowing off the Gulf.
There still wasn't a stink of oil in the air yet.
Yeah. That's another thing. You smell it. When I walk out of my house, because I live in Metairie, which is 80 miles from the coast, you smell it like it's in the yard with you. I mean, it just stinks, unbelievably stinks. I told my wife, if it stays like this, I'm going to have to move out to downtown. I said, because I can't take the smell anymore.
Well, switching topics real quick. My sister and I are thinking.
Getting ready to talk about that.
Well, at first, we had thought we would go down to Cancun or somewhere, but actually go off into the Aztec, you know. Yeah. And so I was going to ask you if you knew anybody down there that you could hook us up with. But now we're seriously, this whole oil thing is really, my sister just gets absolutely livid every time it comes on TV. So we're thinking about coming down, and particularly if it keeps moving in, and helping with cleanup with the birds and the turtles and things that you can actually get your hands on. I know it's just going to kill the fish, but, you know, so if we do that, I'm going to give you a call so you can kind of guide us through that madhouse down there.
I got a couple of friends came in from Canada about a week ago. They're down there doing that. They actually flew in for Katrina, too. They surprised me and showed up for Katrina. They're actually down there doing it, too. They don't like using the locals.
I know.
Well, because they don't want the locals knowing what's going on is what it is.
You got all those shrimpers down there that were given classes a couple years ago on how to help with an oil cleanup like this. And now they won't use them. Put those damn booms on every shrimper and let them start moving in a grid. But are they doing that? Oh, no.
They're telling them to stop using the chemicals to get rid of the oil. So it's like, you know. What are you going to do? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, it was funny. A friend of mine from New York wrote to me and said, Joe, a friend of mine who's down there said they're making them use the booms the wrong way, the buoy buckets the wrong way. And I said, no way. They know what they're doing. She said, no, I'm telling you. And I said, she said, you got some friends. Why don't you find out? So I wrote to a couple of friends of mine who are down there working. He said, yeah, they got them the way they're set. They're missing half the oil.
Oh my God!
He said they've even pointed this out to him. And he said, but that's the regulation; they got to be set that way. I'm like, oh come on! It's all up in the marsh. It's a nightmare down here. It's if they don't do something soon, they're going to kill my town. They really are, because right now Louisiana's only got a 4% unemployment rate. But if this keeps up, it'll have a 50% unemployment rate.
Well, I could just keep. I love New Iberia and down that way.
It's beautiful, Dan. It's actually a beautiful country down here. If you don't, you know, what's rough, as a matter of fact, I was down in Fairhope, Alabama a couple of days. Fairhope, if you ever come down here, you got to go to Fairhope. Fairhope is like something out of a gingerbread movie or something. It's just this weird little town. It's got flowers on every corner. It's got the opera at sunset. But it's a nice place to go. They got really good food there, too. But it's on Mobile Bay, which is actually a very beautiful part of the area down there, with these big 200-year-old oaks with moss all hanging down and the sun setting in the background and the Gulf of Mexico and the water, and it's really a beautiful place. But a lot of the area down there, as you get closer to the Gulf, is now blocked off. It's not because the oil's gotten there yet. It's because they're setting up all their equipment in case the oil does come, which means
kind of like a barricade.
Yeah, they pretty much put all these people out of business down there now. All these different boat companies and charter fishers and all these people, a lot of the cabins that are rented down there, they pretty much put them out of business is what they did. I'm like, well, that was real sweet of y'all. I said, why don't y'all wait till the oil even gets closed before you close stuff?
Oh, no, this is preemptive, Joe. Didn't you know that? This is, you know, them taking a preemptive step.
Yeah, Well, the other day I'm listening to them talking about, well, if it drifts too close to Cuba, it's going to be picked up by the current and drug up the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, yeah, let's drag the oil up and down the East Coast, see how hacked off the country gets. In all fairness, you know, you can only hate on the politicians so much about this, because really I heard him today griping about the Barack, and I just don't know what he can do about this.
He can't. That's the thing.
You know, that's the whole point here. I mean, I like to gripe about him myself, but I don't know what he can't. He's not a big shot. He's not an oil rigger. And frankly, if BP can't get this under control, I don't know that there's that many companies out there that can't.
Yeah, they're the big dogs.
You know, so that really worries me more than anything else. So.
Well, here's what I want to ask you, Joe. We got Lola coming down. How long are you going, Lo?
Well, we go for a week.
Okay, for a week. What are the chances you could, I don't know if you could call in the aliens but Lola wants an experience.
Well, she gets down here for a week, we'll go down to Gulf Breeze.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, we'll go down to Gulf Breeze, and either she'll have an experience or she'll have to have a really good time drinking daiquiris on the beach. Either way, she'll have
the experience.
Good. Yeah.
But I got to tell you, last time, I had a group of friends come in. It was after Katrina. There was 11 of us or 12 of us. And none of them were from Louisiana. Louisiana, by the way. They were from Texas, Canada, a few other states. And so we all load in two vehicles and we drive down there. And I mean, we just packed and get down there. And when we get, we're on Navarre Beach about 150 feet from Eglin Air Force Base. And it's foggy and it's nasty. And the girls are all walking in the front and the guys are all walking about 50 feet between us, maybe 25 feet. And Mike taps me on the shoulder and he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "It's a footprint. What about it?" "It's a footprint in the sand on the beach. Come on." he said, "No, Joe, look at it. It's a little footprint." I said, "It's a kid's footprint. What do you?" He said, "Joe, look up ahead. Do you see any footprints?" I said, "No." He said, "Now we're walking." As we were walking, 2 feet in front of us, the prints were appearing. So at first I think, "Whoa, ghost!" And they're like, "No, there ain't no ghost." And because it freaked us all out. So they start hollering to the girls. Well, they start slowing down and we're speeding up. So whatever's in between us now, the distance is shortening. Well, the girls start hearing this clicking sound, and these grays make it. It almost sounds like a dolphin out of water, kind of the sound they can make sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so you're hearing it, right? And I'm kind of like, "What the hell? What the hell?" And you can see it's getting kind of intense. Then all of a sudden, the footprint stopped, the clicking stopped, and we were right behind the girls. I could see them now. They were 10 feet maybe between us. I have no idea where this thing went. None whatsoever. I'm like, "What the hell?" So we're all a little bit freaked out now. So we walk up to the gazebo. It's foggy everywhere. We're sitting in the gazebo. And Mike, we call him Canuck because he's a Canadian. He's standing there. He comes and sits down by me. He said, "Joe, there's something." He said, "The shadow keeps moving." I'm like, "Oh, dude, don't start. We haven't seen one little alien today. That's enough." And so he's just tugging on me. He said, "Joe, I'm telling you, it's something moving in the shadow." So I start looking at the ceiling, and I'm tapping whoever was sitting next to me, and they start looking at the ceiling. They're tapping whoever's sitting next to me. And lo and behold, there's a pole about 3 foot around. This gray came crawling down the pole like a freaking cockroach.
No.
Freaked me out. It's the way they move that freaks you out. And when he came down, he just came down, and we're all just startled now. You know, there's a couple of big guys here. You know, I'm not a little bitty guy, and some of the guys with me are actually bigger than me, and I'm kind of like one little gray, right? He comes down, does this little thing, and then he's standing in front of us. And I'm all like, "Man," because everybody's just – it's just silent. We've all got camcorders with us and cameras. Not one flash is going off, okay? I mean, everybody's got a camera with them, everybody. And we're all just standing there, and then this light comes on, and it sounded like a metal door opening and closing, and he was gone. The only thing we could figure is it must have been there's a couple of places we know in Eglin, because where we got drugged down on that base that night, we know there's a couple of places along the beaches where they can actually take you down, and it's just a set of stairways that goes down probably 100, 200 feet, and then it opens into an underground facility. But it was just – and. If it would have been by myself, I'd have said, "Well, you know, I'm crazy." It would have been just me and one other person. Now we're both crazy. But no, there was, I think it was 12 that night altogether. And like I said, some of these people barely even knew me. It was just one of those experiences, like everybody was just stunned. And some of these, and at the time, I didn't think everybody there was a contactee. So at the time, I was thinking it was the first time I knew of non-contactees actually seeing aliens. Turned out later on that they actually turned out to be contactees.
Okay, well, for Lola, who isn't a contactee, well, I mean, as far as we know.
Maybe she'll see the surfing aliens in Pensacola.
That's the other thing I thought.
That one still, every time I think about that, I'm thinking, what kind of crack was I smoking that night? And actually, it's not so much what I was on that night as I couldn't believe I actually said it on the air. I had a bunch of people write in and they're like, "You're losing your mind." I said, "No." I said, "There was other people there." I said, "You know, if it would have been just me, I could have just dismissed it as, oh, and you know, I don't drink anymore, so I can't even really blame it on that." And I was like, but it was so weird. It was just, all it was is the tide that day was running about 2 feet, and they had these little short curl waves, probably about a foot tall, mm-hmm. and they were just strolling in from about 150 feet out in the Gulf, because it's real shallow right there.
Yeah.
And you would just see these grays, and these grays weren't little 3 foot grays, these were like 5 or 6 footers. They come in from, what was that movie with,
The Silver
Mad
Surfer?
Mad Max in it. No, I always call him Mad Max. What's his name? Where they had the cornfields and everything.
Yeah, Signs.
Signs. They kind of reminded me of the way that looked. Not exactly,
okay.
but
okay.
basically the same build, I guess we could say. But they were on these things. They want to say they were dish-shaped. It's hard to say because it was off in the distance and it was dark. But there was something between them and the water. There was a cushion of air or some kind of platform, but there was something there. And it seemed to repel the water. The water didn't seem to break over it. It seemed to break like around it or underneath it. So whatever, there was some kind of shielding or field there or something that they were riding on, because it was definitely breaking one, and they would ride it all the way up to the beach. What I found odd is when they got to the beach and they stepped on sand, whatever they were on disappeared. So I'm assuming it was some type of energy they were riding on. Can't know for 100%, but, you know, we've seen the people being abducted on both sides of us. I'll never, ever, ever in a million years forget it. It'll always be etched in my head the same way I've seen it. Because as best we know, we didn't get taken that night. Everybody there that's seen this was a contactee, but as best we know, no one got taken that night. In regression, nothing came up in therapy. As far as we can know, it was just something we were allowed to witness. For whatever reason, this particular group of people were allowed to witness it. And somebody asked me today, does it make you special? I said, I have no idea why they did it.
See, I would be terrified. And here's why. Because if they saw me, if they knew I was there and they saw me, they're like, you know what? You're in the loop now. Coming for you.
They knew we were there. I mean, there's no doubt they knew we were there because they came up on both sides of us. I just have no idea why they didn't take us. It's like the night they took the three of us out at NASA. We were out. Matter of fact, just somewhere else we'd go, Lola, you come down here. This place will scare the bejesus out of us. First off, there's a graveyard back there. This is NASA Stennis incorporated four towns when they took it over. Mm-hmm. So these graveyards that date back to the 1600s and 1700s back here. And there's one that's just almost all little baby graves. This is the wickedest, weirdest, scariest little feeling. In the swamp, up against the Pearl River. I mean, it's in the swamp. Mm. And it's a wild place to go at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But there's also a lot of UFO activity in this general area. But we were out there one night. The lady who's about to come on in a few minutes on the Dawn of Shades, Gia Scott, myself, and Linda, and we kept hearing what sounded like a horse screaming.
That's a terrible sound. That's a terrible sound.
And I mean, it is. It's just a horrible. And we kept hearing it. And I'm like, what the hell, you know? And what is it? And it was obviously coming from the NASA facility because we were only half a mile from the gate, and you could hear where it was coming from, so you knew it was coming from there. Well, we're walking down the road, and every now and then you see light come through the trees. Well, it's not uncommon because there's a road on both sides of the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that there was no cars, none. And this was early in the morning. There was nobody out there but us. And then it got bright, and we got taken, and then we got put back. And it was so funny because all three of us had a majorly different kind of experience. Georgia was just like off in this tizzy talking about one thing, and Linda was just giggling. Like, she had a grand old time, and I was just totally and utterly confused. It was just very, very strange. And not even sure if it was alien. I think it was more military than it was anything else, but that sticking your nose in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And I've had them come up to me out there. Matter of fact, right after 911, we're sitting out there one night watching a media shower because it's pitch black out there. And all of a sudden, these two guys in a white SUV drive up and say, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm watching the media show. He said, well, no, you're not. You're on NASA buffer zone. Get the hell out of here. I'm like, since when? You know, I said, we're not actually on the base. We're in the buffer zone because they incorporated like 200 miles.
Yeah.
Well, about 75 miles all the way around the base for noise pollution.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever. He's like, no, you got to leave. I'm like, okay. But we've seen black triangles back there. We've seen saucers back there. There's been multiple sightings with multiple witnesses on several occasions in that area. Texas State Director Jason Wilson, along with two of our other friends, we're standing in the middle of Honey Island Swamp, and we see at first what looks to be like a TR-3B, a black triangle. It's just clicking along. We're like, wow. We're watching it through the binoculars. We're trying to get it on video. Then you see this blue light, and then you see what appears to be a silver saucer just clipping right along behind it. And then you see an F-16 and what looks to be an F-15 coming right in behind it. And they all four disappear onto the Stennis NASA facility. We watch it just like we watch any plane landing at the airport.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is you get a lot of reports out of that area. People see these things going down. black triangles are quite common to see down here, but the black triangles are a little trickier because sometimes you'll be sitting there and you'll hear like a hum, but you'll look up in the sky and there's nothing there. If they don't have their orb lights on the bottom, all you see is black against black. So you got to look, and you'll see it as it passes over you. It blots out the stars. It is a really wicked feeling, by the way, because you're just laying on the hood of the car, and this thing goes over you. Sometimes it even casts a shadow, like if the moon's out, it'll cast a little shadow. But a lot of times you'll just be watching it, and it'll just pass right over you, and you, all of a sudden you'll see the stars are all blotted out, and you can just watch the whole shape as it moves over the top of it.
Wow.
It's a freaky experience, man. It's kind of thrilling and terrifying all at the same time. It's like when my dog likes to bark at the corner. It always freaks me out a little bit.
I know. I got a cat that constantly stares up at the ceiling, and I know there's nothing there.
I'm thinking, what are you watching coming in the house?
I know.
Well, one girl said that the gray always came in through the side wall, always the same time. Well, every time I was there, the dog was always barking at the side wall like he knew.
I'm telling you, I am so terrified when it's dark outside. I don't like walking in my backyard.
Now,
because here's why. Because if I look up and I see a UFO, they're going to know that I'm watching and they're going to get me. If I go down and like my dog's tangled up around the tree or something like that next to the creek, you know, I'm going to walk out there and there's going to be like little alien kids playing in the water looking for little fishies. And they're going to be like, oh no, we see you now.
Yeah.
Well, just come down to New Orleans, and we won't worry about the aliens. We'll go walk in the Boot Carré about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
That works for
me,
too.
And we'll hang out with the vampires and the other folks.
I think I take my chances with
aliens.
The quarters are – now, I'm going to tell you all this because in case you ever come down here, don't ever go hanging out at 3 o'clock in the morning unless you're with a group of people or with a local.
I don't want to get bitten by a freak.
Well, no, it's not –
you'll get mugged.
It's just dangerous. The crime rate around here is not that great, and if they know that you're a tourist, you might get mugged.
Yeah.
But usually,
some feminine fellow with fake fangs. I'm gonna bite you.
5 days, you can walk around the quarter unabated, nobody will bother you. There's hardly nobody out there. You hear and see some damnedest crap walking around that city. And every day, you see something that goes by, you're like, no, I didn't see that. No, I know I didn't see that. You just keep it, then everybody starts walking a little faster. Matter of fact, we're talking about it because we're talking about doing a conference down here, a paranormal / UFO conference.
Uh-huh.
Down here. And one of the things we want to offer is tours on some of the hot spots of the UFOs, but also some early morning tours of the city.
Oh, man.
And just kind of take people around to the spots where we know certain things happen.
You should do that on the week that Lola's there.
And, well, I'll just take Lola down there. She just will go wander around the quarter and scare the bejesus out of each other. Well, because you can still walk around the city. I tell you, I shouldn't say this in the air, but one night we all got a little buzzed and decided we were going to walk through the city of the dead at about 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And so we're walking along. It's about five of us, and everybody's kind of giggling and cutting up, and a slab fell. Well, we were like, what the blank was that? So we walk, we finally find the slab, and we're looking. Well, the slab was laid flat, so it had to be slid off and dropped down. You ain't never seen five chickens get out of there that fast your entire life. We couldn't get to the car fast enough. Because obviously something slid this thing off of there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, we done woke something up. We in Marie Laveau's graveyard anyway. I'm like, because that's what they were looking for. They were looking for where they put the X's, and there's actually two graves. There's what I like to call a tourist grave, and then there's the real grave. And you just got to know where they are, but it's freaky down there. And it's just a weird place to be hanging out in early in the morning.
I was there just at the sun was just going down, and it was before I really started getting into all this stuff. You definitely.
Well, the old city is when you talk to like Europeans that come here in the old city in the Boot Carré in the French Quarter, it's like an old European city. It's a 400 or 500 year old city now.
Yeah.
So it's really old, and you can tell everything around you is really old. There's been a lot of horrific stuff that are happening. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of people that died. There's the old Pirate's Alley where they used to sell and whip and beat the slaves and all in between the cathedral and this other place. You walk through there some mornings. Really, it's weird. You can almost see the gallows. You can almost see the auctions going on. You can get a sense of here. And sometimes you get these weird smells. And
Smells like oil.
Yeah, well, yeah, now everything smells like oil, but you get these smells of like beeswax candles burning and things like that, things that we don't use down there anymore.
Yeah.
Electric, but it's a weird kind of. And then sometimes you'll be standing there and something will tap you on the shoulder. I mean, it's just weird, you know. And it's what's really funny is sometimes you'll be standing there with four or five people and you can just feel something brush by everybody.
Lola's so excited.
I know it.
Lola's packing her bags.
And then if you get bored, there's always the cards, the tarot readers that read at midnight in Jackson Square in front of the old cathedral. You can always go hang out with the Nutters and let them read your future. Some of them are actually good. Some of them are there to make a buck, but some of them are actually pretty good. There's actually some pretty good readers there. And, you know, it's kind of just an interesting thing to say. Sit down and talk with the gypsies and see what's going on. And it's definitely a different type of city.
Yeah, it is.
It's a different type of entertainment, I should say. And I can tell you, I'm scared the daylights out of myself more than one time down there. I was in a...
you're scared of the gypsies, but you go out and you got like a gray crawling down a pipe, you know, like a cockroach coming at you, and you're like, oh, look at that. That's
well,
crazy.
There's certain
fear.
Things that are normal.
There's fear there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's fear when I see one. I mean, there's fear, but the curiosity surpasses the fear, I guess, in that case. And some of the vampire and ghost stuff, nope. The fear takes over the curiosity. I'm out of here. I don't like messing with dead stuff. See, the aliens are still alive. I can't with them. You know, Mr. Ghosty over there, not either in his favor, not in mine.
You can't kill him.
And some of the stuff I've heard about, well, there's a running thing down here, and I think Anne Rice is the first one that ever put it in the paper, but in the early days, I used to say the vampires like New Orleans. Because they wouldn't come down and kill people necessarily. They would come down and suck on their blood, and whatever was in their blood, alcohol, drugs, or what have you, the vampire would get loaded on.
Yeah.
And Anne Rice actually brought it up in her books, but it's a long-running thing down here because from time to time, a tourist will say something. They'll be found with holes in their neck or on their inner thigh or something along that. And they say that's what it's from. One of the vampires said, well, you know, somebody will ask, were you really messed up? Yeah, I was all messed up on this or that. And you know, so vampire, catch me a free buzz.
There's some crazy guy out there just sitting there with like a pen knife, waiting for you to like walk by and jam, you know.
Oh, I know. And you gotta watch the crazy. You gotta watch the scam artists. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, let me guess. You wait. Let me tell you where you got your boots. Yeah, on my feet, idiot. you know, please don't waste my time with this stuff. But I mean, you got to deal with that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of artists running around. There's actually, in the old days, not too much now, but there's still a couple of good artists that are hanging on down there. You give them $5, they play your music all night. I think every one of them knows how to play Freebird for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Everybody likes hearing Freebird.
Yeah, like a theme song recorder or something.
Hey, Joe, I hate to do it, but we do have to start wrapping up. I want to thank you.
Yeah,
we always have fun when you're on. You got so much stuff to talk about. It's like, okay, what can we talk about next?
Oh, y'all are easy. I like.
Well, he asked me earlier. He's like, so what are we going to talk about? I was like, it's Joe. We'll get something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'll let you know as soon as we get a definite date that we're coming down. I'll let you know for sure.
But you got my number, so feel free to holler at me anytime.
I will.
It's gonna be fun. Joe, you have to put her in a place and. Do your mat, like call them down. I don't know what you do. Like, say your alien prayers or whatever. Make them come down and take her.
Most important, we need video.
You know, if you want to tape record it, I mean,
I want being drawn up to the ship. All right, pants on.
We want to hear this. We want to know all about it.
Don't you love my friends? You know.
I don't feel bad. Mine are always trying to sacrifice me to something.
Like, if you get video, then we'll split the fees because we will sell that.
There's so many people that listen to this show only care about Lola. They'd love to see how she would react.
I'm like, okay.
You see the video and she'd start going up, all you hear is, oh my God!
Oh God!
No, there'd be a beep in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Maybe we could always get the guy to give us a night at the Haunted Mortuary.
Oh, yeah.
Up there with all the cameras and everything and just hang out.
Yeah, we
have that guy. Nobody ever tells me they see anything in this place.
Really? You know, I, well, yeah.
Of course, I'm a ghost magnet.
Are you? We are hanging out.
Well,
we
see, you can stay the night there now, can't you?
Yeah, they got two suites. You can rent them. I think. Anyway, we could talk with them because we do radio. They'll probably cut us a deal, you know, put them on air or something.
I'm telling you guys, road trip.
But they've got like 40 cameras all around the place, and you can spend the night, and you can do your launch investigations and just hang out. I've been dying to go down there, but I just said, you know, that I've been preoccupied with the UFO stuff. Paranormal people get in town, I'll give you an excuse.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. Joe, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and you'll be hearing from us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, man.
Thanks for not canceling us. See you, Joe.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I love that guy.
Always fun. Nikki, who we got next week?
Dwayne Claude and Herb Street.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
I don't know. What could they possibly have to contribute?
The Penn Trip! Everybody, get out there and buy your ticket. June 30th, whispersradio.com. Go there. We're giving you T-shirts. We're bringing you Dwayne Claude and Herb Street. It's going to be fun. I think Herb's bringing in a camera crew for a TV thing he's working on. It's your chance to shine.
Yeah, we could be on TV, y'all.
This is going to be fun. Why are you not picking up on this? If you haven't bought your ticket yet, go buy it.
Yes.
It's going to be so fun. It's going to be awesome. Go to whispersradio.com. There's stuff all over the site that says, go on a ghost hunt with Whispers. You're going to love it. It's going to be fun. That's all the time we got. Until next week, everybody, don't be afraid. Only believe.